The views and discussion expressed on this program do not necessarily represent those of the hosts of the program, WMKV, Maple Knoll Communities, WLHS, the Lakota Local School District, or staff and management. The information and advice presented are educational in nature and not intended to be taken as specific legal, accounting, or other professional advice. Always consult with your own legal, accounting, or other professional before making any investment. Welcome to Real Life Real Estate Investing, a show to help you gain financial freedom by investing in real estate. Brought to you by the Real Estate Investors Association of Cincinnati and the Ohio Real Estate Investors Association. You're listening to Real Life Real Estate Investing on WMKV, WLHS, and the Maple Knoll Radio Network. And now your host, Vina Jones Cox.
Good afternoon. I am Vina Jones Cox, and this is Real Life Real Estate Investing, where each and every week we're trying to get you the information and inspiration you need to start or grow your own real estate investing business. And today we're going to talk about a way of finding deals that I personally have never used for reasons that I will explain as we get into the show. But first, a couple of quick announcements. The Real Estate Investors Association of Greater Cincinnati is hosting a all-day online Zoom training this coming Saturday. It is called Next Level Creative Financing Techniques. It's going to cover master leases with option to buy, pure options, wrap mortgages, and equity sharing mortgages. So if you haven't quite figured out like the more basic stuff like subject tos and private loans, it might not be the right thing for you. But if it is and you're ready for the next level, you can sign up for that at CincinnatiREIA.com. That's CincinnatiREIA.com. I am one of the two instructors of that day on Saturday, which again, on Zoom. Yes, you can attend. It's on Zoom. And the other one is Anita Johnson, who's been a frequent guest here on Real Life Real Estate Investing and is, of course, known as the Wrapping Queen. Again, that is CincinnatiREIA.com. The National Real Estate Investing Summit is headed at us like a freight train. It is 3 weeks away, and I know we've got a lot of listeners who have not signed up because you just can't get out of town for the 5 days or so that it's going to take you to come to Cincinnati, be there October 31st, November 1st, 2nd, 3rd, get back home, all of that sort of stuff. So we have a special offer for listeners to attend the event virtually. You will see all of the main stage speakers. You will see one of the two Saturday workshops, and you will see all of the evening activities and presentations. And, I mean, you can get that off the website at areaconvention.com, but if you make a pledge to WMKV, it's going to be a little bit cheaper, and it's going to include a how to negotiate with sellers course that other folks are not getting. It's $297 to attend virtually at WMKVFM.org. Scroll to the bottom of that front page and you will see a thing at the bottom that says virtual attendance. Click that. And what you are getting is virtual tickets to the event. We are very, very close to being out of in-person tickets at this point, but our Zoom account holds 1,000 people. So, you know, there's still virtual seats left. All right. My guest today is Mr. Tony Youngs, who started investing in real estate approximately when God was a child. And I know that because I've been investing in real estate since God was a toddler, and he's been doing it longer than I have. He has focused largely in his acquisitions in finding foreclosed properties that are pre-foreclosure, that are distressed, that you know, are kind of the same thing that you might be thinking about, but he goes about it in a very different way than a lot of us go about it. He's joining us from his home in Georgia. Welcome, Tony.
Hi, Vina.
Hi. It's good to have you on. I don't think you've been on this show in like 15 years.
Yeah, it's It's been a long time.
It has been a long time. And it's funny because, I was reading your bio, and it says, Tony began his real estate career in 1986 after attending a seminar. And like 90% of the bios that I get have those words, after attending a seminar. And, we can all compare notes about who our first person who introduced us to real estate investing was. But it's funny to me that a lot of people now are like anti-seminar. They're like, you don't need to like go to a seminar or pay any money for a course or come to the REIA Summit. You can just learn everything off of YouTube. And I would say that YouTube and social media and all the different places where you can like go online and talk to people about real estate do not compare to live events. Do you still go to live seminars yourself?
Yes, I do. And, I just like the networking and being around other people with like minds. And plus, usually the instructor is someone who knows what they're doing and they have a lot of experience to share. So I'm a fan of live training.
Yeah, so am I. I still go to two or three seminars a year that I actually like pay for and go as a student. And I'm an introvert. So, the people around me thing is a little bit of a, it's overwhelming to me, in some ways, but I feel like, being able to like raise your hand and ask questions and talk to the instructor and talk to other people about like, what did they hear? What are they getting out of it? Are they doing it? Is just like, I haven't figured out a way to reproduce that online, and I don't think anybody else has either. So, Tony, you are speaking at the 2024 National Real Estate Investing Summit, and your title is kind of mysterious. Your title is How to Find Deals in the Hidden Market.
Get
us out of our suspense. What the heck is the hidden market?
Well, the hidden market are homes that can be bought, but they have no for sale signs. We all have life happens situations, and the hidden market is going out and finding the person who may be going through a divorce. Maybe they're, they just got laid off, and there's all kinds of reasons that every neighborhood has people going through life happens situations. So there's no red flag saying, hey, I'm that guy. So the hidden market is where I go through neighborhoods looking for homes with no pride of ownership, because I think that if everybody else is taking care of their yards and their homes, life is good for them. But when I see people that aren't taking care of it, it's probably because of some kind of a life happens situation. And a good example of that is my own life. I take care of my own yard. I enjoy it. I love to get out there and work on it. But there was a time in my life when my wife and I weren't getting along and we weren't seeing eye to eye. And I could have cared less about my yard during that time. I just wanted to repair my marriage. So I didn't take care of my yard during that time. So when I go through neighborhoods and I see homes with high grass or overgrown bushes, they don't have a for sale sign, but I talk to them and see if they might be interested in selling. And I hit a bingo.
So hidden market is not just stuff that's not in MLS or doesn't have a for sale sign in front of it or isn't on Facebook Marketplace or isn't, like you can't look at the paper and see that there's an auction, a foreclosure auction or an estate auction or something coming up. It sounds like a lot of these folks that you end up talking to, you couldn't even buy a list. You can't buy a list of people who aren't getting along with their wives. You can't buy a list of people who've been laid off at work. You can't buy a list of people who, you know, the latest seller I talked to is a housing provider who has been taking care of his own rentals for 40 years and been very proud of it and taken good care of them, except that a couple of years ago, he had a quadruple bypass. And his wife said, if you walk out of this house and start climbing up ladders, I'm divorcing you. And so his property had run down, right? And he was very ashamed of that. There's no list of people who their health doesn't let them maintain the properties the way that they would, that they usually would. So when we come back from this break, we're going to talk about the part of this that has been left unsaid, which is your particular approach to getting into conversations with the owners of these properties. And we also want to make sure that listeners know you can call in with questions for Tony. The number is 877-772-9658. Again, 877-772-9658. Or you can just send an email. It's vinaradio@gmail.com. Welcome back to Real Life Real Estate Investing. Just wanted to let our listeners who are in Florida know that we are sending good thoughts your way on the heels of saying this last week about North Carolina, South Carolina, and Florida. Of course, we know there's stuff going on in Florida right now. So especially our frequent listeners, callers, Bill, Victor, Rahel, Jonathan, all you folks, please stay safe and dry if you have not gotten the heck out of there. I'm sure you're not listening right now. If you're still there, you're probably battening down the hatches, but we are thinking about you. So, Tony, hidden market. So like you've identified this group of people that is a group of people who may need to sell their house, but literally your competitors almost can't know about them unless they're doing the same thing that you're doing. And it sounds like you're finding a lot of these simply by driving neighborhoods.
Yes. Yes. I got started back in the 80s buying foreclosures, like most investors. And when I was buying foreclosures, I would send letters and things like that. But then I did 5 deals in rapid succession. So I went ahead and quit my job. And I was an aircraft mechanic at Lockheed. I was making pretty good money. But once I quit my job, I didn't get a paycheck every Thursday. So sending letters to people in foreclosure alone did not pay all the bills. You never knew when you were going to get a deal. So I was always trying to figure out, how do you find people that are going into foreclosure before it becomes public? So every time I went to a foreclosure, I would drive through that neighborhood and look for other homes that looked distressed, and I would talk to them. And it turned out that I was getting better deals by talking to those people because it wasn't public. But I became a door knocker. And the reason I started knocking on doors is because sending letters alone wasn't cutting the mustard. And everybody else had bandit signs and billboards, and that's how they tried to attract deals. And I started knocking on doors, and I was getting deals. And it helped my career take off. Now, I know a lot of people do not want to knock on doors. They'd rather have bamboo shoots driven up their fingernails and so that's okay, because I've been knocking on doors for all these years, and I still to this day am happy that not everybody wants to do that. because it still works real well today.
Uh-huh.
And I get some fantastic deals.
Uh-huh. Well, you understand, though, why introverts such as myself are kind of hesitant to go up and have a conversation. You stand in somebody's yard on their porch and have a conversation with a complete stranger. And I can tell you that a huge part of the reason is I wouldn't know what the heck to say. And we actually have a question in the inbox here from, changed screens here, from Burley, that says, the question I have is this: when you knock on a door of an owner whose house is ugly or they're going through foreclosure, what do you say after hello?
Well, you know, like I say, I say hello. My name is Anthony, and I am looking to buy a home in this neighborhood. And I really like the style of your home, and I wanted to know if you'd be interested in selling it. And that starts the ball rolling. And, you know, you get a lot of people that say no, but I keep the conversation going by saying, well, not at any price. And then they start saying, well, everything's for sale at a price. And then I just keep the conversation going. And the main thing is you've got to say nice things. I mean, you just got to have some sort of a, you know, nice way of talking to them. But you'll find that most people come to the door a little standoffish. But if you look them dead in the eye, they begin to trust you, and they'll start talking. And I've been door knocking all day today. And I am actually in Madison, Wisconsin today. And it's strange here because everybody we knock on their door, they actually step out on the porch and talk to you. And they love to keep the conversation going, too. But it's really quite easy. You've just got to know what your first words coming out of your mouth are going to be when someone opens the door. And that's why you know in your head you want to buy the house. So you just ask them. You just say, hey, I love your home. Would you be willing to sell it?
Mm-hmm.
And it just sort of gets the conversation going.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Vina, I got to tell you that whenever I talk to people about door knocking and they say, well, I don't want to do that. You know, you can spend the whole day going out and knocking on doors, but you don't have to knock on any door you don't feel good about. There's still some doors I won't knock on, and it might have something to do with the type of car in the driveway. You know, if I see a Toyota Tercel with a Christmas tree air freshener dangling from the mirror, I know what kind of person may answer the door. But if I see a gangsta mobile with, you know, or something like that, then I might not knock on that door. And so I just call them because it's so easy to find their phone numbers today.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll sit in front of their house and call them.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody can force you to knock on every door. So once you get the hang of it, it's really quite simple, and it's very rewarding
mm-hmm,
because
mm-hmm.
you get deals that no one else knows about. And they may someday eventually end up on a list. Like here, for instance, a lot of times I'll run across a vacant house or it has high grass, and I knock on the door, and I look in the window, and there's furniture, but no one answers. So I'll ask the neighbor if they know anything about the house, and they'll say, oh, that person died 2 weeks ago. So I already know about that situation before it ever comes out in the newspaper as a probate situation. So I've gotten some real good deals because of that. Mm-hmm. And so are you getting the picture of
Yeah, I am. And I have to confess that although I have never knocked on a door in my entire life and said, hey, would you be willing to sell your house? I have bought some of the best deals of my life by talking to people who were already outside of their doors. And usually the way that that has worked is I'm in a neighborhood, I'm at a house that somebody called me about or that's listed or something like that. And you get the neighbors who come out on the porch. You know, they come out to, cause you're a stranger and they're looking at you and they're trying to figure out if you're breaking into the house, I think sometimes. And, if they come out, I will talk to them because I want them to be assured that I'm there for a valid reason. And then many times they'll give me a lot of information about that house and I'll say, yeah, man, that's cause they always have really bad things to say about the house. I don't know if you've ever noticed that. And that, yeah. Man, that roof's been leaking for 100 years and there's rats coming out of there. Like they very, very rarely have anything good to say about the house I'm looking at. But, you know, I might say, well, man, that sounds like a lot of work. Do you know anybody else around here who's got a house for sale? And sure enough, if they're the nosy neighbor type who comes out because some stranger sits standing on the porch next, they know everything.
Yeah.
They know everything about everybody. It's crazy. And I actually do, you know, I say, oh, well, what's that address? What's the name? Do you got the phone number? And, you know, they're very happy to help because they're nosy neighbors and that's what they do.
And see, that's the Gladys Kravitz syndrome. But, that's all part of the hidden market because whenever I'm out there, there are people walking their dogs and I'll talk to them. I'll say, hey, I'm looking to buy a home in the area. Do you know anybody in the area that's getting ready to sell? And sometimes they'll say, well, there's two boys that live in that house and their mother just died, so you might want to talk to them. Or they'll say, well, that house over there is vacant and there may be a car in the driveway. And I'll say, that's vacant? Why is that car there? And they'll say, well, the neighbor parks there.
Mm-hmm.
And so you do find deals by just talking to people in those neighborhoods. I got a funny story. Now neighborhoods have Facebook pages. So I usually sometimes I'll take a handful of people with me and we'll go door knocking. And so the neighbors will get on Facebook and start saying, hey, there's people in the neighborhood. And I talked to them and they said that they're in the neighborhood looking to buy homes. And somebody actually responded to the Facebook saying, well, tell them to come to my house. I need to sell. And so it's all good. And just being out there, it's fun. You know, we have a great time going around just looking at houses and finding. The best part is we find some unreal-looking situations. Last week we went to a house that we knew was vacant. It was a foreclosure. And when we were there standing in front of it because it was vacant, a truck pulled up. And it was a guy from the bank coming to change the locks.
Mm.
And he let us go in and look around.
Oh.
And he said that we told him we would like to make an offer. He gave us his email and said, if you email me an offer, I'll give it to my client. And so there's just great things that happen.
It is like being in the middle of it all, isn't it? We need to take another quick break, and then we're going to come to some other listener questions. You can ask your questions about door knocking, hidden market, foreclosures. Tony knows how to do everything. He's been doing this for a really long time. The number is 877-772-9658. Again, 877-772-9658. Or send it via email. It's vinaradio@gmail.com. Welcome back to Real Life Real Estate Investing. I'm your host, Vina Jones Cox, talking today to Tony Youngs about his deal finding strategy, which involves a combination of just going into neighborhoods and looking for properties that look like they are distressed and knocking on their doors and saying, love your house. Would you like to sell it? And also there's a foreclosure piece in this that we're going to get to in a moment that Tony has mentioned a couple of times. But Tony, I have a question in the inbox from Kathy. She says, clearly he is looking for properties that are going to need a lot of work. What does he do with them when he buys them? Does he wholesale them, retail them, fix them up for rental, or what?
All of the above. The ones that look like I could make $100,000 profit on, I will rehab. And the ones that are a little less than $100,000 profit potential, I'll wholesale them. And then the ones that are free and clear, which I find a lot of free and clear houses. And if any of those owners want to sell, I make an owner finance offer. And that's what I keep for my rental portfolio. So, you know, you just decide per deal what you want to do with it. But I do still rehab houses. But the reason that I look for homes that need work is because in today's market, the home has to need some kind of work to justify a low offer. Because we're in a market where we're just coming out of where sellers were getting real high prices for their houses. But it's slowed down a little. And now a lot of areas, the homes sit on the market for longer periods. And they're not getting those real high prices. But even during those times when homes were getting 50 offers, I was able to get really good deals because the home needed a lot of work.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, so back to the foreclosure issue. This is a question from Dan, actually from your neck of the woods. He's in Marietta, Georgia. He says, when you're going to a property where you know that the owner has had a foreclosure file, do you play dumb? Like, I don't know if this is the right house, or like you don't mention foreclosure, or do you do like a direct upfront approach? You're in foreclosure and I'm here to help.
Well, that's a very good question. And the truth is, I never mention the foreclosure when I go to that door. I let them do it. 8 out of 10 times, they will say they're in foreclosure. And I say, oh, That doesn't matter. I've had to buy houses like that before, and I know the process. So I could actually help you through that if you'd like, and it helps get the conversation going, and usually they will invite me in to hear more. And but I don't like to mention foreclosure because they pretty much know that's why you're there. But if you act like, if you don't bring it up, it makes them more wanting to hear what you have to say. Mm-hmm. But I have, when I have mentioned foreclosure, they came to the door, you know, smiling and feeling good. But then if I bring up the foreclosure, it's like the Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. You could just see their facial expression changes, and it's not a good subject. And I'm the kind of guy that doesn't want to mention it. I let them mention it. And so did that answer the question?
Yeah, so Dan, we've had conversations here on the show over the last couple of years with Bill Cook and Bill Twyford, both of whom are very big door knockers. And this question has come up every time. And we now have two in favor of, yeah, don't bring the foreclosure up, let them bring it up. And one in favor of, nope, say, I know you're in foreclosure and I'm here to help. So we got to get a fourth person and see how the poll goes. His second question is, are there any specific documents or handouts that you take with you when you go door knocking?
Well, I take a flyer. Because the reason I take a flyer is because if they don't answer or if no one's home, I leave that flyer. And it just simply says that, you can sell your home in as little as 7 days. And then it has a bunch of bullet points with reasons that you might want to sell. And I've been using that for years, and it works pretty good. Now, and if they do answer the door and they just don't want me to, they don't want to invite me in yet, then I'll leave the flyer with them. And I always try to get the flyer in their hands, even if they don't want to sell. I just say, here, if you ever change your mind, here's my information. And if you know anybody else that wants to sell, give them this flyer.
Mm-hmm.
So I like to get it in their hands. And we all know that people in foreclosure, a lot of them are in denial. But when you give me the okay, I'd love to tell you a story about people in foreclosure these days.
I give you permission.
Okay.
I don't think I've ever had a guest ask me.
Well, I never know when the commercials are supposed to come up.
Well.
But I was in Port St. Lucie, Florida, and I knocked on a door because it had high grass and no for sale sign. And it was a lady that lived there. Her husband died, and she did want to sell because she said, I can't afford the house. And she sat me down and she told me that she was in foreclosure 6 months earlier, but the bank did a loan modification. And she said, even though they modified my loan and canceled the foreclosure, she goes, it's unreal. I still can't afford the payments they've given me. So she said, I'm forced to have to sell. So she went ahead and accepted my offer that I presented. And so I just want to tell you that even today, the banks are willing to give these people modifications, but they make it so hard. I mean, it doesn't really seem to help anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what this lady was telling me.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's all part of what I call the hidden market. You find people that are behind on their payments, and but the bank hasn't restarted the foreclosure yet.
Mm-hmm. Okay, question from Randy in California. It sounds like Randy in California has gone door knocking and heard this more than what sounds like one of these questions that's coming from, I hear this all the time and I don't know what to say. He says, Tony, what is your response when the homeowner says, no, I'm not interested, but I know a neighbor who has their house listed with a real estate agent?
Well, all I can tell you is that I get similar things. Like sometimes they'll point down the street and say, there's a house down the road with a sign in the yard. Why don't you go to that one? And I tell them, I did see that house, but I love the style of your house. So that's why I came to your door, because I don't like the style of the house down the road.
Mm.
And now when I tell them I love the style of your house, they think I'm talking about ranch or Cape Cod, but really the style I love is looks like crap. That's terrible. But But anyway, that's what I do. If they tell me there's a sign, you know, a house listed down the street, I just tell them I saw it, but I don't particularly like that style.
Okay. All right. I think we are due for another quick break before we jump into some of these other questions. Again, you're listening to Real Life Real Estate Investing. Tony Youngs is my guest. We're talking about hidden market, door knocking, foreclosures. We've gone all over the place. It's cool. 877-772-9658 is the number to call with questions or send them to vinaradio@gmail.com. Welcome back to Real Life Real Estate Investing. Talking today to Tony Youngs, one of those guys who has decades and decades of experience, lots of different deals, lots of different challenges over those years, because we all have those challenges over the years. And of course, Tony is also one of the featured speakers at the 2024 National Real Estate Investing Summit coming up here in Cincinnati on October 31st through November 3rd. We're all out of the in-person seat packages that we were offering in return for your pledge to WMKV, but now we have a special on virtual attendance where you can watch all day, every day, for the whole 4 days on Zoom, and also you will get the audio recordings of all the sessions that you did not actually get to see, because we've got so many speakers that many times there are two people speaking at the same time, three people speaking at the same time, five people speaking at the same time, and you'll get the recordings of all of those things, but get to see all of our featured speakers over the course of Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And make a pledge to WMKV, which is always an awesome thing to do. Like, you always just sleep so well at night on the night that you've made a pledge to public radio. Go to WMKVFM.org. Scroll down to the bottom of the page. You'll see the big National Summit Canva or whatever it is. You click on that. Pledge $297. You'll get your virtual seats and a course on how to negotiate with sellers. So, Tony, question from I don't know who, because there's no signature on this. There's just an email, and the email gives no indication of the name. But I swear it's a real email. How many doors do you have to knock to get a deal?
Well, it's really impossible. I get asked that question all the time. But I may knock on 4 doors and get a deal one day, and then 20 doors the next day. So I've never been able to narrow it down, and it's just I have to be willing. I know that I'm going to make some good money if I get out there and put forth the effort. And so I've never been able to come up with a thing, because I used to say, well, I'd say 1 out of 10 doors I knock on. But that was at a time when people answered the door. Right now, there's a lot of people that just won't answer the door. My wife is one of them. You know, I've been trying to buy my house from her for a long time, but she won't answer the door. But anyway, so it's just so hard to tell someone. And I would hate to say, oh, you knock on 20 doors, you'll get a deal, because they may not.
Yeah.
And because it has a lot to do with how you talk to the people when they answer. It has a lot to do with, you know, building that rapport or relationship when they do answer the door. So,
So you get better at it as time goes by, and your hits will go up. And I've heard the same thing from other door knockers. They say, some days I will knock doors 4 hours a day, both days of the weekend, and nothing. There's not even like a bite. And then next time I go out, I might knock on 2 doors, and the second guy has 3 properties he wants to sell.
Yeah.
And I end up buying 3 properties by knocking on 2 doors. So it's, yeah, I think it's as with everything else, it's building your skill, getting consistency, in what you're doing and so on.
You're absolutely right. It's practice makes perfect.
Mm-hmm. Okay, question from Heidi. Does Tony do any research on the homes in the areas he's going to walk before he goes out there?
Well, yes, I do, because I still go to the foreclosures. So I do research on 8 or 10 foreclosures, and I plot a course. And then when I go to those, that gives me a reason to be out there. But then that's when I drive through these neighborhoods. I always comb the neighborhood where the foreclosure is, and then I go in nearby neighborhoods. But I haven't found the hidden market that day yet, so I can't research those. But I do research the foreclosures I go to just to give me a reason to be out in the field.
Mm-hmm. So you can't identify ahead of time which houses are going to have high grass and bad roofs and the things that you're going to be looking for, because that's literally, and we actually did a show a couple of weeks ago on driving for dollars and what to look for, but you're kind of taking the next step, because the driving for dollars show, it was like, yeah, and then you mail them or you call them or you're, but you're like, next level, I'm going to get out of my car and go talk to some people. So you said, you mentioned that you have spent the day driving for dollars today. Any good stories about people you met?
And it was a good 1 out of 10 story too, because we went to 8 foreclosures and we found 25 hidden market properties by going to those 8 foreclosures. But the foreclosure people, usually, most of those are the ones that usually won't answer the door, even if you know their home. And so there was one foreclosure that had 10 cars in the driveway. And that's one of the doors I won't knock on. If there's 10 cars, I'm not knocking on that door. I just feel outnumbered. and you never know who the decision maker is out of all those people. Anyway.
Well, my panicked brain, you know, being a woman, you know, which is, you're always like, I think more concerned about your personal security than maybe men are. My thought is, okay, this is a drug den of some sort. If there's 10 cars in the lot and the, whew, yeah, I wouldn't knock that door either.
So what we did is I didn't knock on that door. I made a note that when I get back to the office, I'm going to call them. So we called him. We called the owner of record, and he said yes, and he was just so open to selling that house. And he explained that some of those cars in the driveway don't run. He said, I've got to find a place to put those. So... but anyway, he said, yeah, please make me an offer. And so we told him we would email one to him. He gave us an email address. So, and that was, we only went to 8 foreclosures, and that was 1 out of 8 that we were able to make an offer.
Mm-hmm. So you didn't go in the house. How did you know what offer to make?
Well, I went ahead and made the offer because he said we couldn't see it yesterday. So he said he wanted me to give him a verbal offer. And I said I put all my offers in writing. And the reason I do is because I load it up with clauses that gets the deal accepted. And I want him to see those. So those clauses are simply like, you know, you don't have to clean out the house. You just take what you want. Sometimes I offer to get some workers to help you move your stuff if you do want to move some of the stuff. And, you know, and I just put all kinds of clauses that makes sellers say, man, he's making it easy for me. Because, you know, most sellers, they want to sell, but they're afraid to go ahead and commit because then they know that they've got to work hard to clean out that house. And so I almost have forgot what the real question is.
How did you know what offer to make? Like, how did you know how many dollars to put at the top of that contract?
Well, I always make a fairly, you know, I have a formula, so I'll submit that number, and I'll tell them in the email, I'll say, without seeing the inside, this is what my numbers say I can pay today. Mm-hmm. But there's a clause that says this offer is subject to my approval of...
Actually seeing the house? Yeah, I think that's fair.
Yeah. So therefore, I just wanted to get the offer in his hands to let him know I was serious. But then when I go see the inside, I can adjust the price up or down. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you know that, I mean, I'm sure you do, that the hedge funds, they always seem to make real high offers without seeing it. Mm-hmm. And then when they come do the inspection, they knock off a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And so you could use that method. But I like to go in, you know, at a certain price and just see how they respond. And if they feel it's too low, I'll say, well, once I see the inside, I could do better. Because, see, most of my deals that get accepted are because when I do the walkthrough with the seller, we both agree on how much work it needs. And that's how we can come to a real price.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Tony, this is a fascinating conversation, and I look forward to talking to you more at the summit. But we are out of time. So appreciate you being here. Appreciate your insight on some of the ways to approach people when you are door knocking. And I look forward to seeing you here in Cincinnati on October 31st through November 3rd.
Could I say one more thing?
Yes, Mike says yes.
Okay. If someone is afraid of door knocking, there's a free door knocking day coming up at the end of the month. If you have a foreclosure in your neighborhood or somewhere, knock on it on Halloween night because the owner comes to the door smiling and a bowl full of candy.
And worst way, case scenario, you get a candy bar.
Yeah. And you could say, oh, what a lovely home. Would you be interested in selling it? But they will. I guarantee they won't come to the door mad that night.
All right. Thank you so much, Tony. You've been listening to Real Life Real Estate Investing. We'll be back next week with more information to put you on the path to financial independence through real estate investing. Until then, happy investing.